Dead Side of the Mic by Simon Brett, dramatized by Jeremy Frunt.
Well, I told you once and I told you twice. Yeah, but you never listen to my advice.
Oh, the dust up here. Where's the damn light switch? Hello, Charles Paris Escort Agency, Leatherwearer Speciality.
What if it hadn't been me?
You've got your own ringtone plus a foxy little Francis on the screen.
I'm not foxy, I'm vulpine.
Sounds even foxier.
Just a minute, Juliet, I'm talking to your father.
Trouble up baby factory.
Don't even go there.
Listen, I'm in the loft as ordered, but I can't see a damn thing. Where's the light switch?
There isn't one. You'll need a torch.
Oh, fan-bloody-tastic.
And you can stop looking for the old pram. Juliet wants a bugaboo.
A what-a-woo?
It's a child's lifestyle transportation solution.
With price tag to match.
No one's asking you to pay, but while you're out there, see if you can find her old cot.
Oh, won't she want the latest sleep system with solar-powered aircon and digital wee-wee monitor?
It's a first baby. Her hormones are pinging around like gerbils on speed. Yeah. She burst into tears trying to choose a changing mat.
Yeah,
so...
okay. I'll find the old cot. Once I've had a nip of Highland malt juice. There. I'd got used to my own company after a month in Edinburgh with my one-man show on the life of Swinburne, the libidinous laureate.
I may as well have a ciggy while I'm up here.
So the hurly-burly of family life was a bit of a shock to the delicate balance of my system.
Oh! Ah! My old Epiphone semi-acoustic dot vintage with customised sunburst finish. Yeah.
Frances, my estranged wife, had stopped asking me to move out since our pregnant daughter had left her boyfriend and moved back in to complete the game of happy dysfunctional families.
Oh, yeah. Old Slowhand Paris has lost his touch.
Hoping to be a better grandpa than a father, I'd bought a new mobile and was on constant standby.
Hello, Wembley. It's great to be back.
But the prenatal anticipation was like the build-up to D-Day.
Are you ready to rock and roll?
With additional mood swings.
Okay, here we go.
Oh.
What have you done to my... Biedermeier bed.
The bed can be fixed.
It's handmade. And the ceiling...
We seem to be missing the small point that I could have been killed.
What were you doing, Dad?
I was trying to get your old cot down.
But we've bought a new cot with antibacterial mattress and a quick-action, easy-access, up-and-over gate.
ABS and sat-nav?
Charles.
Sorry.
I can't do stress. I need to lie down. Wake me up for the House of Tiny Terrors.
Look at my beautiful bed.
Yeah, I didn't do it on purpose, Francis.
Where am I going to sleep tonight?
Well, you'll have to come in with me.
I don't think so.
I'm hardly going to leap on you. I reckon I've slipped a disc.
I'll sleep on the sofa.
You have my bed.
Well, I better get on to the insurers and then start ringing round builders.
I'll make dinner.
I'll order a takeaway. Don't want any more accidents.
Thanks for risking your life, Charles. Not at all, Francis. Any time. After a crippling night on the sofa, bent like a paperclip, I limped round to the Café Cassia for a spot of Polish TLC.
There you go, Charles. One full Gdansk breakfast.
Ah, so, what have we got here?
Is fat with bacon bits on bed of bread with buckwheat groats on side.
Delicious.
I've been praying for your safe return. All other customers have gone low bloody glycemic. When you finish, I bring cheesecake on the house.
Oh, bugger.
Hello, Morris.
Will that be Charles Paris, tourist of the Balmoral Street Masonic Lodge, 6 shows a week plus half-price matinees?
Highly amusing.
Sorry, I couldn't get up to old Ricky. The festival clashed horribly with my 3 weeks in Mustique, but I heard great things.
In Mustique?
Sadly, Edinburgh fever hasn't reached the soft white sands of the West Indies, but Pixie compiled a clippings file for me. No. Looks like you stormed it.
Storm's putting it a bit strongly, more a light squall.
And now you're back in the bosom of your family.
Well, I'm back. I don't think bosoms feature in the equation.
I can't keep up with your domestic arrangements.
That makes two of us.
All geared up for the life change, Grandpa?
Stuff that for a game of cribbage.
The sound of an old man in denial.
Early, late, middle age, and I see myself as a funky rock and roll granddad.
I had you down as a Werther's original type, but clearly Peter Pan is in the house.
Sod off, Morris.
Women love a mature man with a pushchair?
Yeah.
Unless he's in it. Oh. Now, listen, I've had an approach.
I warned you about hanging around Hampstead Heath, Morris.
Tom McLeish, ring any bells?
Wow, that's a blast from the past. Tom and I used to stage happenings at the Liverpool Everyman, industrial drama for industrial time.
Well, he's at the BBC now.
The radical who came in from the cold, mind you, it's a wonder he's still alive, the stuff we used to do.
Yeah, well, lovely as it is strolling with you down acid flashback lane, I have got other clients.
Sorry.
Can you meet him for lunch to, and I quote, kick some ideas around?
Absolutely. TV centre?
Broadcasting house.
Oh.
Has 3 weeks in a Masonic temple gone to our head?
It's gone to my pocket. I'm skint.
Then toddle along and make with the sweet talk.
BH was on medium terror alert, and it was impossible to get past security without a responsible adult. So I sat in the Art Deco foyer for the obligatory 15 minutes, watching people more important than me being hurried through. Then...
Hey, Charlie Paris, who's the man? Sorry about the wait. Civilization came to a grinding halt because of a 30-second sex scene in one of my dramas, so I've just been rogered.
Sorry?
Roger Bolton. Feedback's like being hauled into the headman's office for a thrashing only to discover he's invited the great British public to kick you up the arse. Long time no see. Yeah. How's it hanging, man?
Well, not bad.
Still dressed like a Glastonbury roadie, Tom had never quite managed to throw off his public school roots.
Hey, come on, let's get out of here. My office is like a hutch for a miniature rabbit.
Cheers.
Happy days.
Mm. What's with the cranberry juice?
Oh, you're okay, but I'm editing this afternoon.
Time was all the best programs were cooked up in the pub or the club.
Yeah, if the party apparatchik spotted Comrade McLeish drinking at lunchtime, they'd shunt me off to Gulag Ambridge. So, how's the gorgeous Frances?
Well, we're sort of semi-detached, but she's putting me up, or putting up with me. How about Sasha?
Yeah, we separated.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, amoebic dysentery happens.
I liked Sash.
Yeah, I remember. We're both remarried with kids, so it's sort of okay. But, you know, casualties of an open relationship. It was fine till we had the sprogs. Then she came on all bourgeois, and when I didn't, just to prove a point, she went off and had an affair with some bloody actor.
Yeah. And now you're at the BBC.
Yep. I didn't catch it myself, but I heard the libidinous laureate was this year's must-see in Edinburgh.
Yeah, the must-see no one saw.
Anyway, got me to thinking how much fun it'd be to work with you again after all this time.
How about a radio version of Psychosis Hypnosis?
I don't think the Radio 4 audience is ready for a 48-hour, non-stop, semi-improv, psychosexual, nude, sci-fi epic yet.
No. So the man won in the end, yeah?
Yeah, the man always does. Look, there's a 3-month contract going on the drama rep. I don't know what your schedule's like, but I wondered if it might be up your alley.
Absolutely, right up.
Yeah. It's not a done deal. You'll have to audition. But entre nous, there's a Charles Parish-shaped hole waiting to be filled.
Well, let's drink to my hole, as it were.
You drink, I'll watch.
Past all things born.
A week later, I did a bit from Crap's last tape for Wait, the headmaster's speech from 40 Years On for Laughs,
if death be like his birth,
and a piece from my Swinburne death, show, for Ego. Cheers.
Nice to see the good guys win a hand.
I'd say this is a good excuse for a piss-up.
Word to the wise, you're under contract with the corporation now. Nation shall speak peace unto nation, and they'll do it sober. Yeah.
My attention was caught by a sycophantic entourage surrounding a young man with a celebrity tan. Why do I know him?
Oh, come on, Charles. That's Edwin Palmer, man. Rolling with the homies, in it, though.
The talk show guy off the telly.
The everything guy of everything. Mr. Ubiquitous.
He does radio, too.
Yeah, quite literally radio, too. He's got more fingers in more pies than Sweeney Todd. Hey, Steph! Come on, join us.
We don't want to butt in.
No, this is my old friend Charles Paris. Charles, Steph Kennett.
Hi.
Hi.
Steph produces news.
Oh, these drama boys are so bitter.
Well, you'd be bitter if you had to cut every script to play second fiddle to an hourly news bulletin.
See what I mean?
Steph was a young, bright, ambitious media woman on the make. A real take-no-prisoners player and, as Edwin Palmer's crew would say, well lush.
All right, large bells for Charlie. New world Chardonnay for the lady.
Old world Pinot Grigio, please.
Yeah, got it.
How do you know Tom?
We're on a steering group committee together.
Oh, sounds like a bundle of fun.
Fun it's not, but it's great for networking. You should see what it's done to my BlackBerry.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Hey, just back?
Literally. I'm so jet-lagged, I'm like my body's here, my head's somewhere over the Atlantic. But I'm so not going to bed until I've reset my circadian clock, and then I'll crash big time. Hiya.
Charles, this is Annie, my flatmate.
I'm not normally this hyper, but I'm still running on Eastern Seaboard time and New York speed.
Sounds exhausted.
Actually, it's kind of a buzz. Just don't be around when I come down, it won't be a pretty sight.
Are you in news too?
No, I'm a studio manager on Edwin Palmer Live. But I'm a... angling for a news attachment.
Annie fancies herself as all agurin with lipstick.
Her head's okay, but the show's all style and no content. I need a bit of substance.
For God's sake, don't come to news. Politics is just showbiz for ugly people.
I've got you a souvenir back at the flat, and we must have a chat. I was doing a bit of sniffing around in New York, and I heard...
Hey, Annie!
I'd better go and say hello to Ed. Later, yeah, Steph?
Yeah.
Tom, visibly deflated, as Annie merged into the throng.
See the guy over there dressed like a Tory MP at a party fundraiser?
I looked across the bar at a Savile Row suit in a deafeningly loud pinstripe.
That's John Christie, our HIDPDANM.
HI what?
Head of Interdepartmental Programme Development, Audio and Music. He chairs that committee.
Well, he just called me because he's looking to recruit talent from the creative community, so
wait a minute. Now.
We could do with some glamour, Charles. Come along and sex us up with your thespy charm.
Wow.
As a long-term sufferer of Charlotte Green syndrome, I've always had a weakness for posh, clever BBC women. I blame Listen with Mother.
Water.
Oh, is that noise inside or outside my head?
I've got to drink a litre before the scan.
Well, I haven't touched it.
Well, I left it on the kitchen table.
I'm not really a water guy.
And it's heavily diluted by whiskey.
I need caffeine.
Are you ready?
I can't find my water.
What's wrong with the stuff that comes out of the tap?
Do you actually want me to poison the baby? I mean, do you have any idea how much oestrogen leaks into the water supply? Men are growing breasts and becoming infertile.
Yeah, not the one who got you up the duff.
Charles!
I'm sorry. How long is this noise going on?
They said today'll be the worst.
Do they have to shout all the time? And the swearing, all they bloody do is swear and shout.
They're builders, not poets.
Poets are much worse, but at least they can spell their expletives.
My near-death fall through the ceiling gave Francis the brilliant idea of turning the loft into an extra room.
In case you hadn't noticed, there are three of us living here. Soon four. And once the baby's born, my mum and stepdad will want to come and stay.
Yeah, I'll make myself scarce then.
Oh, don't be childish.
Francis's mother had never forgiven my early marital indiscretions, and although I hadn't seen her since she moved to New York, I remembered that gorgon stare which turned men to stone.
Are you eating at home tonight?
I've got a long day in the studio and a meeting afterwards. I'll grab something in the canteen.
Are you ready or not, Mum? We're going to be late!
I will get through this pregnancy without cracking up.
It's not her fault. It's a fluctuating hormone.
Fluctuate you in a minute.
Mm.
Mum!
All right! I'm coming!
Good.
Luck.
Help yourself to a drink, Detective Inspector.
Thanks, but I'm on duty.
You look disapproving. A respectable woman drinking scotch in the middle of the afternoon.
You've just lost your husband.
And you're wondering if I murdered him.
Actually, my dear, I was wondering what colour underwear you're wearing.
Look, we're just checking something in here. And don't sexually harass the cast, Charles.
Sorry. I'd always enjoyed radio drama, partly because you don't have to learn the lines, but mainly because it's all about acting and not how you look.
That take was okay, wasn't it?
Yeah. Of course, the studios have all gone digital, but it warmed the cockles of my old analogue heart to see the antique tape deck still gathering dust in the control booth.
I'll be with you in a minute.
You're too young to remember studio managers slashing tape with razor blades.
I'm the iPod generation.
Editing used to be a real manual craft. Dead and gone now.
Clicking a mouse is manual.
Clicking a mouse? No one uses their hands anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Charles.
Yeah, that sounded pretty good in here, so that's you done for the day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Don't suppose you Fancy a drink?
You're coming to the committee meeting, Giles.
Oh, God. I mean, oh, good.
But I think we've all woken up to the actuality of the situation that we're inhabiting, not to mention vying for attention in a cross-medial multi-platform marketplace.
Seated around a boardroom table with me were Tom, Steph, and several other people whose names went in one ear and straight out the other. Rather like the corporate drone of John Christie, H-I-D-P-D-A, and throughout Christie's burble, I'd been pulling faces at Steph, trying to make her laugh and flirting at the same time. As Bertrand Russell said, a hot night in the sack begins with a single titter. Or was it Frankie Hard?
Charles.
Sorry, what?
Any thoughts as a member of the creative community?
You have to understand that looking in on the BBC from the perspective of, you know,
what's a bloody carry on? I'm sorry, all. I got papped coming out of Soho House, celeb jacked by a hack from Heat like an outside BH. But you've got to keep the Grub Street parasites happy.
To my relief, all eyes turned on Edwin Palmer, who graced us with his charismatic multimedia presence.
Oh, is that coffee? Carry on, pretend I'm not here. I'll get you one.
But the meeting fell apart as everyone fussed around the patron saint of the elusive 18 to 30 audience, the holy grail of broadcasters.
So, what did I miss?
We were just asking Charles here.
I've got to say, sorry to interrupt, John.
No.
I don't want to come on like a showbiz tosser, but I'm on air soon, so if I could drop in me four penneth, as Nana Palmer used to say, then you can all badmouth me after I've gone. Now, I've just come back from the States, and there's no question the future's in digital interactive downloads. Yeah.
Five minutes later, Edwin was heading for the eager ears of his adoring public, but the rest of us couldn't leave till we'd been divided into subgroups. The good news was, I got put with Steph.
So, are you okay to come to my place?
Sorry?
Doors closed.
The next subgroup meeting.
Oh, yes. Sure, yep. Just give me your address. Listen, I need a drink after that. Do you fancy one?
Why not? But I promised to pop in on Annie. She's editing down in the basement.
Steph led me through a labyrinth of subterranean corridors.
Here we are. B21.
She pulled open the heavy soundproof door.
Charles and I are going for a drink, Annie. Annie? Oh, my God.
Come outside. Quick. Quick.
It's horrible. It's so horrible. I don't...
Take a deep breath.
I'm going to be sick.
Look at me, Steph. Just look at me and breathe deeply.
I don't understand.
Now, take my phone and call the police.
I can't stop shaking.
Yeah, okay. Just sit on the floor for a minute.
Okay.
I took a deep breath myself and went back into the little editing suite. Annie was slumped in a swivel chair by one of the old tape machines. I pointlessly checked for a pulse, then took in the scene. A razor blade wedged into a cutting block, blade uppermost, a great deal of blood, and one very dead young woman.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't understand. She was so happy. I mean, you saw her at the club.
There was clearly no doubt in Steph's mind that her friend's death was suicide. Had she ever suffered depression?
She went through a rough patch with the divorce.
She was married.
Why the surprise?
She seemed too young.
That was the problem. Well, one of them.
I was intrigued to know about the other problems, but now wasn't the time.
You remember when she said, "Don't be around when I come down"? Don't think she'd already planned to do this, do you?
By the time the police finished taking my statement and making me feel guilty for stumbling over a crime scene, all I wanted was a large scotch and a warm bed.
Charles?
What? God in heaven! Oh.
What are you doing?
Well, having a coronary.
Oh, it's nearly 2.
Oh, God, I'm so tired. I forgot you were using my bed.
Are you drunk?
Only from exhaustion.
You look awful.
Thanks.
You sure you're not drunk?
One scotch to settle my nerves.
Measure or bottle?
Ha ha.
Why did your nerves need settling?
I've just had the night from hell.
They haven't fired you already.
You're great for my self-esteem, do you know that? No, they haven't fired me. I met this girl.
Ah...
No, the girl I'm talking about died.
Oh.
Quite. And I found the body.
Where?
In an editing suite. Do you mind if we don't go into it all now? Only I've been explaining it to a detective with bad breath and a worse suit, and I just want to sleep.
Well, of course.
Thank you.
Where are you going?
To the sofa.
Oh, get in.
What, with you?
Well, we're still officially married, in case
yeah,
you didn't.
But...
And you look like you need some human comfort.
Ah, thanks, Francis. Oh, I really appreciate it.
What are you doing?
Comforting you.
Well, don't.
Sorry.
Humber. Thames.
I was just enjoying a highly erotic dream in which I was shipwrecked with Francis, Kirsty Young and Charlotte Green when...
13 minutes to eight, time for Thought for the Day. And in Oxford this morning, we find Anne Atkins, columnist. Anne, good morning.
Give me a break.
Good morning, Jim.
What's wrong?
Oh, I think it's called a rude awakening.
The very deep did rot. Oh, Christ.
I was kept busy most of the day with a poetry please, but kept thinking about the old razor blade wedged upright in the editing block. For Annie to cut one wrist must have taken incredible determination. But both wrists...
Here you are.
Get that down, you.
Thanks, Charles. Cheers.
Cheers.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it when I came in this morning.
Did you know Annie well?
I met her through Steph. She helped out on a production when the regular drama SMs were short-handed. She was good. Wasted on Edwin Bloody Palmer.
Did she strike you as the suicidal type?
What do I know? Annie was a live wire. She really knew how to enjoy herself. We had some great times. Look, Charles, we go back a long way, you and me.
Sure.
Neither of us are angels.
There are more skeletons in my closet than Highgate Cemetery.
We had an affair... Me and Annie.
All right.
I've been going quietly nuts since I heard the news. Keeping it bottled up, doing my head in. I can't even mention it to the wife in case I start blubbing.
So your wife doesn't know about you and Annie?
Excuse me? Am I in A&E having it stitched back on? Of course she doesn't know.
Right.
Anyway, it was over. I was crazy about her, but Annie couldn't see a future for us. I loved her, Charlie. I mean, I really... Well, I guess she was right.
Call me a cynic. But there was something about Tom's glibly confessional tone I didn't buy.
I admit I've got commitment issues.
Commitment issues? Everyone's got an issue these days.
I'd already ballsed out one marriage to Sasha. I couldn't go through all that guilt and remorse and self-loathing again.
Self-obsessed, maybe, but Tom, self-loathing.
My psychotherapist says I'm a classic NPD.
NPD?
Narcissistic personality disorder. Bollocks. If I was a narcissist, I'd be the first one to know about it.
We're the therapy generation, appropriating the language of analysis and turning it into the psycho-clichés of Big Brother. What'll happen if the police turn up to interview you at home?
Bloody hell, do you think they will?
Well, they're bound to sniff around, talk to people close to Annie.
But nobody knew.
In the BBC? Come on, Tom. Do you really think you could have kept an affair with a young SM a secret? I left Tom in the pub, looking white as a sheet. The next evening, I made my way across town to Steph's flat in what she called Holland Park Borders, but was really Shepherd's Bush.
I tried to get your number, but everyone had gone home.
The meeting's cancelled.
Sorry, they all pulled out.
No, it's not your fault. I better get off.
Stay and have a drink. Go on, now you're here. Annie's parents are coming at the weekend. The police said I could pack her stuff away, but I've been putting it off.
Hence the whiskey.
Dutch courage.
Police say much.
Just asked a lot of questions. It was like watching The Bill, except I was in it, and my friend was the victim. Weird.
I once played a transsexual shoplifter in The Bill. That was weird too.
I don't know if there is a suicidal type. But if there is, I wouldn't have said Annie was it.
Was she upset about the breakup with Tom?
Who told you about that?
Tom. He's very cut up.
Yeah, I bet. Sorry, he's your friend.
In the last century, we tried to change the world through nude rock opera and psychedelic light shows, but I wouldn't say we were exactly close.
I've now got an image of you in a nude rock opera.
I perform better with my clothes on.
Really?
The
trouble with Tom is he's so up himself. When Annie's marriage fell apart, I let her move in here. Then she hooked up with Tom, and I could see another disaster looming. But what could I say? She was on the rebound from Jamie. She was vulnerable.
Jamie?
Her ex, another studio manager and another self-obsessed narcissistic jerk.
She knew how to pick 'em.
And how. Every time she fell for a new man, it was like watching a slow-motion car crash.
Some people have self-destructive natures.
Said Charles Paris, serial adulterer, failed husband and father. Boy, was I on thin ice.
Actually, Annie was just an eternal optimist. You know, all's for the best in the best of all possible worlds.
She was certainly up when I met her, almost manic.
She had mood swings, even used antidepressants from time to time. But with her love life...
So she had access to medication?
Yeah, but that's been puzzling me. You see, the police said her system was full of sleeping pills.
Yeah.
So why cut her wrists?
Oh.
Why put yourself through such a horrible, painful death if you can just go to sleep?
Yeah, it does seem a bit belt and braces.
You don't think... I can't believe I'm saying this, but you don't think she could have been murdered?
It was the first time anyone had mentioned the M word, and Steph preempted my next question.
But who'd want to murder Annie?
Oh, sorry. I better get that. Hi, Francis.
Are you in the middle of something?
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong, exactly.
Nothing's wrong, exactly. What's wrong, Francis? Juliet.
Hello, Dad.
It's
a false alarm.
I thought they were contractions.
What's the point of all those classes if they don't teach you about contractions?
You went to drama school. You didn't come out Laurence Olivier.
Thanks. So what was it? Braxton Hicks?
What do you know about Braxton
Hicks? I've been reading up.
It wasn't Braxton Hicks.
So?
A very nice doctor thought it might be colic, then Juliet remembered...
We had a Thai green chilli after the breathing class.
So I risked a coronary because you got wind.
She's never had a baby before, Dad. Charles.
So tired, tired of waiting, tired of waiting for you.
Why does the house reek of rancid fat?
Well, that'll be my modern take on a French classic croque monsieur.
Smells like a croque of something.
They didn't have Gruyere at Lidl, so I used squeezy cheese and a slice of stuffed turkey neck.
Remind me to put you in for MasterChef.
Juliet's still in bed.
I thought she could do with a lie-in after last night.
How can she sleep with the Chuckle Brothers up in the roof? Ah. Breakfast. Can I tempt you to a slice?
You couldn't bribe me and I'm late for work. Please, wash that up before you go out.
Okay. Hello?
Charles, it's Steph. Any chance we could meet up?
Well, I'm rehearsing all day and recording tonight.
I'll be in the George after the show. It's important.
Okay, can you give me a hint?
It's about Annie. Someone sent her a threatening letter.
Who?
I can't say now, I'm in the office.
Oh, come on, Steph.
It's someone we both know.
Something left a bad taste in my mouth, and it wasn't just the croque monsieur.
In The Dead Side of the Mic by Simon Brett. Charles Paris was played by Bill Nighy, and Francis by Suzanne Burden. Juliet was Tilly Gaunt, Morris John Glover, and Tom McLeish Nicky Henson. Steph Kennett was played by Emily Raymond. Edwin Palmer by Chris Pavlo, Kazia by Jill Cardo, and Annie by Manjeet Mann. Charlotte Green was played by Charlotte Green. The guitarist was Louis Bamba. The Dead Side of the Mic was dramatised by Jeremy Front and directed by Sally Evans.